Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. A couple of weeks ago, I did a special tribute to Claude Painter, who had passed on to glory, and I might have mentioned that he and his wife worked at the Fig Tree Bookstore at Shemaya Israel Congregation, and that Claude had meticulously labeled many, many cassette tapes from my early days on Bagels and Blessings. As I was looking through those tapes, I found an interview I did in April of 1999 with Rabbi Scott Sekulo. Rabbi Scott has now joined Claude Painter, and I'm so sad to report that he too has passed on to glory, and I would like to share this interview with you today, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shemaya Israel. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. That was the fabulous voice of Jonathan Sattel. And next, here's a really pretty song from Corey Bell and Lev Shiloh. This is called Hatov Shimcha.
Shalom. This is Corey Bell from the band Lev Shalom, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. And today I'm going to play an interview that I found back in the archives. It was from 1999 with Rabbi Scott Sekulo. He went home to be with the Lord just a couple of days ago. It's a very sad time for his friends and family, and I hope that you would keep them all in prayer. You know, when a believer in Yeshua passes away, we like to think of them as going home because heaven is our home. And so this next song from Joshua Aaron and Yair Levy is beautifully sung, and it's called Home.
לאן אפנה רחוב וחנון, לאן אפנה אל ארצי, אני את ליבי, אהובה שלי. רק עכשיו, בלי תוכניות ודמיונות, בלי עבר וצלקות, אליה, אליה, אליה. Find rest for my soul. Where shall I go? Searching for my land, the longing of my heart, my love ever grows. Here and now, running forward to the past, to you, with everything I have, to you. Thank you.
I think about running into the arms of Yeshua, and this next song comes to mind. I haven't played it on the air in a very long time. It's from a group called Miha Shamayim, and the CD is called From the Heavens, and this song is called Sweet Child of Mine.
Sweet child of mine, how I long to hold you in my arms, look into your eyes, and make everything all right. Sweet child of mine, how I long to hold you in my arms, look into your eyes, and make everything all right. Come and tell me everything you need. It's my joy to provide for you. Don't you know you're my child and heir? I'll hold nothing back. Let me show my love for you. Oh, sweet child of mine, how I long to hold you in my arms and make everything all right. Sweet child of mine, how I long to hold you in my arms, look into your eyes. Darkest night, when you're pounded by the raging seas, when you're all alone, surrounded by your enemies, I'll be your strength and shield. You can depend on me. Let me show my love for you. Oh, in my image you were created. For so long I waited for you to give your heart to me. No one has ever loved you the way I've always loved you, and will eternally. Oh, child of mine, sweet child of mine, I long to hold you in my arms,
sweet child of mine.
How I long to hold you in my arms and make everything all right.
Sweet child of mine,
and make everything all right. Sweet child of mine. And make everything all right. And make everything all right. How I long to hold you in my arms.
Again, that was the group Miha Shamayim. That reminds me of Psalm 91. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first part of it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." And there's a lot more to it, but it's beautiful. And I just think of being in the shelter of His wings and the comfort in His arms. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Here's Paul Wilbur, Dance With Me.
Thank you.
song of all songs. Behold, you have come over the hills, upon the mountain.
Shalom, this is Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord. And they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. Next, we've got Ted Pierce with Walk in the Light.
Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. The haughty man is humbled, the lofty one brought low, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord unto the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light,
arrogance abased, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is the Lord unto the glory of God. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. We're gonna walk,
gonna walk,
walk in the light,
walk in the light.
We're gonna walk, walk, walk,
gonna walk,
walk in the light. Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light, walk in the light of the Lord. We're gonna walk in the light of the Lord. Come on, walk in the light of the
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And you just heard Ted Pierce sing Walk in the Light. And when Scott Sekulow was alive, he was always shining his light. And he was an example to everyone that knew him. And now he is walking towards the light. And he is with Yeshua. And I'm so happy that I found this interview. This was on the air April 25th, 1999. And I hope you enjoy this interview.
Well, at this time, I want to welcome Scott Sekulow from Yachad Ministries to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, glad to be on.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for being here.
Oh, no problem. That's a good book, so enjoy it.
I'm sure she will. It's really neat to have first read about you. I was looking at the magazine, what's the name of that magazine? Charisma Magazine, February 1999 issue. And I'm skimming through it, and I see this article, Jews in Argentina Embrace Jesus as Messiah During Cultural Festival. And I'm reading all about this Scott Sekulow, and I'm thinking, Sekulow, I've heard that name before. People hear a lot about Jay, but they don't always hear about you, and I'm excited. I'm so excited how God is using you, Scott.
Well, it's a blessing to be in a family that God's using. Not only Jay, myself, my other brother, Gary, too, is a believer, and he does a lot of behind-the-scenes work for my brother Jay's ministry. So it's a real blessing to have three brothers doing what God wants us to do.
Oh, your parents must be very proud.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Well, before we get into what Yachad Ministries is all about, I wondered if you might share with our listeners a little bit about how a nice Jewish boy like you found out who this Jesus is.
Well, you know, it was interesting. Jay obviously became a believer back in what they call the Jesus movement back in 78. And, of course, we just treated him as our crazy, you know, Christian brother. And you know, things were going up great. We had a very close family. A lot of, you know, Jewish families always are very close. And due to a business situation that we were, a family was in business together, things kind of went strange, and brother wasn't talking with brother. It was really just a mess. And one day I was teaching Sunday school at the temple. I was with a Reformed congregation and had a question about Christianity. I was teaching charity religion. So I figured I'll ask my crazy Michigan brother, and called him up, and next thing I know, he was asking me what it would take for me to believe that Yeshua was the Messiah, and I went, I want a sign, and he said, name it. And while I'm blind in one eye, I figured maybe I could ask for that, or, you know, everyone can use $1 million. The thing I asked for was the family to get back together like it used to be, and honestly, my brothers would thought it had been easier for me to get my eyesight back, and it didn't happen overnight, but about within 2 years, my family did get back together, and brother was talking to brother again. Matter of fact, through that, my brother Gary became a believer, and the day that he told us that, my brother said that God fulfilled my sign, and I did the old get smart routine, you know, missed it by that much, and stormed out of the house saying I didn't want to talk to my brother Jay anymore, and fortunately that didn't happen, but he gave me the book, Yeshua the Messiah. He sent me that book, and he didn't tell me to read it, he just sent it. It was my choice to read it, and started reading it, and really was interested to find out about this, you know, Jewish guy who was fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, and ended up asking for another sign. We started going to Congregation Bethel, and on Yom Kippur, I accepted Yeshua into my heart. That was just 6 years ago.
Praise the Lord. You know, I mentioned a second ago, I said, your parents must be proud. Actually, being from a Jewish family, how do your parents feel?
It was interesting. You know, Jay, the first time he did a Supreme Court case, my mom and dad both went up to it, and my parents have been very supportive of the children and what we do. My mom became a believer about a year and a half before she went on to be with the Lord, and so that was an interesting time because she really, they've always been very supportive, but she really understood it all. My father is not yet a believer, but he's very proud of all the children, what we're doing, and so we fortunately, you know, unlike some families that literally their parents, you know, disown them and even do burials, our parents, you know, were very supportive of what we did, and they realized, you know, what we're doing, it's, you know, it's a lot better than, I guess, going out and being bank robbers. So,
really?
And that's just, they're very proud. My father, you know, calls me, you know, my son the rabbi, and so he's very proud of us.
So, Scott, you are a Messianic rabbi. How did that happen?
Well, right after I became a believer, the Lord, I decided, you know, we were going to Congregation Bethel, and I figured I'd be just sitting there every Friday night in the pews and not have to worry about anything, and Jonathan Burness with Hero Israel Ministries came to do a men's retreat at our congregation. I had been a believer about a month and a half, and while we were at the men's retreat, he said the Lord shared with him that it was interesting, both my brother Gary and I, that we would both be in ministries, and literally within a year and a half from that time, we were both in ministries. Gary went to work with Jay, and I ended up ironically working with Jonathan. I had gone on a festival to Russia and Minsk, where my grandfather was from, and the Lord had put it on my heart. I started going back to school and was getting a degree in biblical education, and my wife and I realized that we were supposed to be part of this ministry. We didn't know how, and we prayed about it, spoke with our rabbi, and shared with Jonathan, and when I told Jonathan that we really felt led to be part of the ministry, he said, great, what part of Russia do you want to move to? And I said, Georgia, as in Atlanta. And fortunately, there was work needed here in the States, and so I worked with Jonathan for about 2 years, helping develop the festivals, and it was just a real blessing to be a part of that ministry, to see literally, you know, thousands of Jewish people coming to know the Lord at one time. It's literally the book of Acts being relived.
Wow, how exciting that must have been. Now, how did you get involved with Yachad Ministries? And do you want to explain a little bit about what the word Yachad means and
sure.
What the ministry does?
Yachad Ministries is actually an offshoot of Congregation Bethel, and Rabbi Solomon and Dr. Rick Smith have been doing it for years, kind of just doing things around the city of Atlanta, going and speaking to churches. And when Jonathan and I were in Russia, in Kharkov, we were being actually detained by the KGB. It was a kind of an interesting experience. And while I was there, the Lord truly put on my heart South America, which was really interesting because I had never even, you know, I really couldn't even tell you where it was on the map. I had so little interest in it. And but the Lord put it on my heart. I went back and I shared with Rabbi Solomon, and he said that he's always had a vision for South America. And Jonathan and I shared, and we decided that it was time for me to go on and do some other things. And so I went on with Yachad Ministries, and a month and a half later, I was down in South America in Colombia, and that's when really the Lord put on my heart to take this vision that was going on in Russia, this revival and these festivals, down to South America. And so we do really dual work. We work here in the States, sharing with the churches about the Jewish roots, how to witness the Jewish people. We also do, you know, Christ and the Passover, and then we do these international festivals now, too. And so it's been a real blessing. Of course, the word Yitzhak literally means unity, and it comes from Psalms 133 and 1. So it's been a real blessing to be a part of this ministry and see how God has just really been using it in a very dramatic way.
Scott, let's talk for a little bit about sharing Messiah with Jewish people. Do you have a certain method that works best for you?
You know, it's funny, you know, people say, you know, what's the, is there a catchphrase? You know, unfortunately, there's really not. It's really knowing the Old Testament. You know, a lot of people, when they go to witness people, they always want to start off with John 3:16. And while that works for a lot of people, for the Jewish people, really, you can't start there because they don't even believe that the New Testament is, you know, scriptural. So you have to really start in the Old. So I share strictly from the Old Testament. And, you know, I try to see where the person's coming from. Are they someone who maybe has some belief in God? You know, unfortunately, many Jewish people today don't even believe in God at all. So you have to really, you know who you're talking to and know how to share the scripture, know the different prophecies and how it might reflect to it. You know, all the information is there that we need. We just have to know how to share it with them and show them that truly the Messiah is throughout the, you know, entire Old Testament. Of course, I like to share with them about the lineage of the Messiah, and you know that, you know, if the Messiah wasn't Yeshua, well, and he was to come today, how would we know that? Because, you know, of course, all of the lineage is destroyed with the temple in 70 A.D., so they have no way to prove that, and that's really a great way to show them that there's more than just, you know, words, that this is actually from God, that these prophecies are there, not for the Messiah to know, but for us to know who he is.
Scott, have you ever had a situation where the person that you were talking to is Jewish but doesn't believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, thinks it's just a storybook of fairy tales?
Yes. Matter of fact, just recently I had someone who said just that, you know, they didn't consider the Bible to be scriptural, you know, it's just a good book. And what I did, what the Lord put on my heart, I had actually never done witnessing this way, but I did it strictly from a historical point of view. And I was able to show this person that through the archaeological digs that they've done, that, you know, nothing has disproven the Bible. Actually, all it's done is proven the Bible right. And that really ministered to this person. One of the things that was very interesting, she had visited Israel, and she goes, oh, you know, Israel was so wonderful. And I said to her, why? And she was confused. She was expecting me, you know, I've been there several times, to say, oh, you know, it is so wonderful. I said, but to you, it's just a fairy tale. It really shouldn't exist. So if you believe that the Bible is not scriptural, then either is Israel. And that really opened up her eyes. Matter of fact, she went out and started reading the scripture. She was willing then to now start reading it and looking into it. And so, that you can do it from a historical point of view and show them that the Messiah is there and that the scriptures are true.
I hope you're listening, folks, because I have encountered this situation more than once with a person. I try to share with them about Messiah, tell them the scriptures, and I get the answer that, you know, the Bible is just a hocus-pocus book of fairy tales. And so Scott had a really good answer just then. I hope you were listening. Thank you, Scott, for sharing that.
So I can't take credit. The Lord gave me that one.
Amen. Well, we will give him credit, definitely. Can you share some experiences that you've had where you have successfully convinced someone that Yeshua is the Messiah?
Well, I think one of the neatest experience that I've had, and it happened in Russia. We were working to, part of my job was to make sure that the anti-missionaries didn't get in the people's way of coming into the festival. And I got to witness to a Orthodox rabbi. And talking about your biggest fears coming to reality, I had been a believer about a year and a half, and you know, I didn't know what to say to this gentleman, or at least I didn't feel like I did. And
Oi. We
got to talking, and he was actually pretty open to me, and we were talking, which, you know, he would only read scripture in Hebrew, so it was kind of interesting in that I wanted him to read Isaiah 53, and he wouldn't do it there, because all I had was an English Bible in my hand. But we got to talking, and one of the wildest things that ever happened to me, he, he asked me a question, and it was a very interesting question. He wanted to know where my thinking was from, and he said, he asked this situation. He said, two thieves went down a chimney. The first thief's face is covered in black. The second thief's face is clean. Who cleaned the second man's face, and who will clean the first? Well, I had no idea. I mean, I was stumped.
I'm confused.
I felt like, what is this? A train's leaving from Boston at 7 o'clock? I had no answer. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, he's testing you. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees are testing Jesus, he's testing you. Tell him this. And I went, Don, I said, I don't have an answer for you, but this is what God told me to tell you. I said, the second man's face was cleaned by the blood of Yeshua because he realized he had sinned, and he realized that he wanted to be free of his sins, and so the Messiah wiped away his sins. The second man cannot clean the first man's face. Only through the blood of Yeshua can he be cleansed from his sins. Well, the guy went quiet, and he just said, okay, and he gathered all his guys together, and they walked off. And the next day, he came back, and he read Isaiah 53, and we started sharing, because he immediately said, oh, well, it's Israel. And we started going line by line, and I was showing him how it was in Israel. And a group of people just gathered around listening to our conversation. And about 15 minutes into it, I did an altar call, and about half of them, there was 15 people there, raised their hand to accept the Lord. So while he didn't come to the Lord, through this discussion we were having, the other people around saw God's work, and so it was a real blessing.
Praise God.
And what's really interesting, I came back, you know, that question I think will always stay with me. I was reading a book from Moshe Rosen on witnessing to Jewish people, and he said one thing that they love to do is ask you a question that doesn't have an answer, so it'll keep you, you know, just going back and forth and really not getting to your point. And he said one of the most favorite questions is, two thieves went down a chimney, and one's face was covered in black. Obviously, this is the question, and I need to write Moshe Rosen and tell him there is an answer.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible, Scott. Well, Scott, can you tell us a little bit about what happened? You went to Argentina, had a fantastic time. You went to Rosario.
Right, we went to Rosario, Argentina. It has a Jewish population of over 40,000. It's one of the larger remaining Jewish populations left. A lot of them came to South America, of course, after World War II. And we got to share with them through a festival of Jewish music and dance. We brought over 50 people from the United States and England down there. We had interpreters, and we used local believers from the local church, the Messianic congregation down there, and we got to share God's love through the Jewish dance. We had Paul Wilbur, of course, with Integrity, and he did his entire Shalom Jerusalem album in Spanish and Hebrew. It was a real blessing. We had dancers and banners, and the people who really were very quiet about their Jewish identity because of some bombings that happened 10 years before in Buenos Aires, and, you know, just over the centuries, you know, the decades that they've been there to kind of keep quiet, they really began to enjoy their Jewish roots. We did really what was one of the largest Jubilee celebrations in South America in Rosario, and we celebrated it, and people came out. We had over 10,000 people attend these festivals. We saw over 1,000 salvations. Many of them were Jewish, and we saw another 2,500 people asked for more information about the Messiah. So it was a real blessing to see, literally, you know, the book of Acts being relived with thousands of Jews coming into the Lord. And what's great, too, is Jew and Gentile both coming into the Lord. You know, when you do it the way God tells us to in the Scripture, both Jew and Gentile get saved. You know, Romans 1:16, it's to the Jew and the Gentile. And it was a real blessing to see how God just ministered to these people.
Amen. Let me just remind you, you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. This is Ethel Chadwick. I'm talking by phone with Scott Sekulow of Yachad Ministries. Well, Scott, at this festival in Argentina, were there any Holocaust survivors there?
It was interesting. There were some, but not as many as we thought. In Russia, we found to see a lot of Holocaust survivors, and we really were hoping to do a special celebration for the Holocaust survivors. And literally in Rosario, we didn't find any. And there's only a few left in Buenos Aires, so it's really, unfortunately, that time. You know, these would have been people that would have been, had to be children, because now they'd be in their 60s and 70s.
Right.
And actually, we did meet one gentleman who was taken out of the one of the concentration camps as a baby. They smuggled him out, and he was one of 12 children that were saved. But he actually, you know, had no remembrance of the Holocaust because he was just a child. But obviously, you know, he lost his whole family in it.
Mm. Scott, what type of follow-up will there be with the new believers over there?
Well, we worked with the local churches for those Gentiles that have come to the Lord, and there's a group of 150 churches that we're working with, so they will be, obviously discipled and brought into those churches, and then the Jewish people that came to the Lord and those that wanted more information, we have started up a Messianic congregation down there, and so they're sharing and developing them, and it's a group that has just really been growing. Obviously, they had had some believers beforehand, and literally overnight doubled and tripled in size. So it's been a real blessing to see how they're coming along. Matter of fact, I just got a email from the gentleman who's heading up congregation down there, saying that they had invited 120 people to this event, and over 80 of them came, and many of them had accepted the Lord from the festival, and some even then, after hearing even more, have now also come to know the Lord. So there's a great discipleship program in place, and they're working together to build them and make them stronger in the Lord.
That's wonderful. And from what I've been reading, you have plans to go back and do another festival?
Yeah, we're already making plans right now to do a festival in the fall of the year 2000 in Buenos Aires, which is going to be a real exciting time. It has the second largest Jewish population left outside of Israel. Of course, the largest would be New York City, and it has a Jewish population of over 250,000. We're actually hearing reports of up to 400,000 Jewish people in the city, and it's going to be an exciting time. We're already making plans to go down. As a matter of fact, I'm going down in 2 weeks to make some final plans on the location and the exact time of the festival, and it's going to just be a blessing. We want to encourage your listeners. They can get information. They can get us on our email or web page, and also find out about this festival, because it's going to be truly, I think, an amazing time, and we'll see God work. Both Jew and Gentile will come down and share the gospel. It's a real blessing.
Scott, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about your ministry, what would be the best way to do that?
Oh, there's probably two ways. The easiest way, if you're internet active, they can come up on our web page. We have a web page, which is Yachad, which is Y-A-C-H-A-D .com, and they can register there and also send emails to us. And our email address is Yachad@Yachad.com, and they can also do it the old-fashioned way. They can call our office at 770-641-1336.
770-641-1336?
Right.
And that is the Office of Yachad Ministries.
And we just, our webpage, matter of fact, we have like the books that you just talked about, You Bring the Bagels, I'll Bring the Gospel. We have where you can actually order materials on our webpage, and different musicians. It's a real blessing. They want to go on and take a look. I want to encourage them to visit our webpage. It has a lot of interesting information on it.
Now, I want to make sure I didn't miss something. Earlier, you were talking about your testimony and the signs that you were looking for. Did you say that your eye ever get healed or not?
No, I'm still blind in my right eye, but my family is back together again.
Praise the Lord. And how close is your father to acceptance of Yeshua? Do you have any clue that he might be persuaded in that direction, or do we need to pray real hard?
He's actually very close, but we still need to pray hard. There's some obstacles in the way. One is my sister, who's not yet a believer, and so we need to pray also for her too, that she'll be open to hear God's word and listen to it with truly an open heart. But my father is very close.
Praise God. Have you had any interesting discussions with your sister about your faith?
Interesting, yes.
Is that a good word?
She's very, obviously it's interesting because, you know, seeing Jay on the TV all the time, and I'll never forget, she said that all of her friends, and most of her friends are Jewish, said, oh, they've seen, you know, they she would go up and say, oh, my friend, this friend or that friend saw Jay on TV, and one day I asked her, do you need, why are all your Jewish friends watching Christian stations. And if you don't think Jewish people are watching them, guess again, they are watching and they're listening. And so she really, that kind of blew her away. Like, why are they watching this? Why are they listening? And obviously they are looking for the truth. But we have had definitely some interesting discussions.
What's her first name?
Jeannie.
Jeannie. What's your father's first name?
Stan.
Stan?
Yes.
So we need to be praying for Stan and for Jeannie, that they would come to know the truth in Yeshua's name. And I just assume that my listeners are agreeing with me in prayer today for Jeannie and Stan. Praise God. So how can we best be praying for you in the days ahead, Scott?
We need the festival. We're obviously planning on that right now, so we need God's direction on that. And we do need to raise about $200,000, so we need the necessary funds to come in for the festival. And we have a lot of things happening with Yitad. We're getting ready to do a trip tour to Israel this October. And so we're trying to make plans for that right now and for people to join us and see Israel through the eyes of a Jewish believer. It'll be a real blessing to visit the land and really have a better understanding of God's plan for Israel and the church and how Messianic Judaism is really, you know, blossoming in Israel.
Praise God. Well, I'm really excited, Scott, about how the Lord is using you and your family, and it's been a real blessing to talk with you today.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome, and I think the reason why nobody called, I've heard this before, that my listeners get really involved in listening. They enjoy listening so much, and a lot of times they just don't even want to interrupt the flow, and that's why they say they don't always call. Every week is different. Sometimes I get 2, 3, 4 callers, and some weeks I don't get any, so I hope you're not discouraged.
Oh, no, not at all.
But it's been a real blessing to have you on today, and I just thank you so much, and I'm really excited about what's happening in your life.
Oh, thank you.
So perhaps you can come on the air again and tell me about your next festival.
Sure, we'd love to. And like again, just encourage the people to visit our webpage, and they can find out more about the ministry, and they can email us with any questions they might have.
Great. You know what? I think somebody just called.
Oh,
never too late. We've got Mike on the line. Hello, Mike. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Oh, thank you. After all, I just want to tell you I enjoy your show, and I listen all the time. And I'm a first-time caller, so I sound nervous. Forgive me.
You don't sound nervous at all. Hey.
I'd like to ask Rabbi Scott, seeing that so many Jews are coming to know Yeshua, Jesus, in this century, why did you think they didn't, as many did believe in the early times of Jesus' time?
Well, I think why we're seeing such a revival among the Jewish people is literally a fulfillment of Luke 21, chapter 21, verse 24 through 32, you know, Jerusalem is once again under the control of the Jewish people, and that's a sign that, you know, for 1900 years, almost 1900 years, Jerusalem was under the control of the Gentiles, and our Messiah said when that happens that the fig tree will start to blossom, and truly that's happened. The fig tree has always been Israel, and we're seeing Jewish people come to the Lord. They're hungry for the truth, and they've been looking for it everywhere. I mean, there's so many Jewish people that are in the New Age movement and all these other groups that are looking for God, but all in the wrong places. And now they're finally turning back to the Scripture, and they're turning back to what the Scripture says, not necessarily what this rabbi says or that rabbi says, and they're looking for it on their own, and God is touching their hearts.
Praise God.
Well, praise God, that's right. I'm a Gentile, and I have many Jewish relatives, and I just pray that they'll hear your message too.
Well, great. Like I said, there's some great books out there. You bring the bagels, I bring the gospel. It's a great one for you to learn how to witness. Yeshua the Messiah is the book that my brother gave me. The book Betrayed is another great book. There's so many books out there that the people can read about it. Messianic Jewish Questions and Answers, a little tract, basically. It's a little booklet. But we had those translated in Spanish, and we handed out over 10,000 of them in Argentina. That's a great book just to get people an understanding of what Messianic Judaism is.
Yeah, I'll have to go to the Big Tree bookstore and look up some of these books.
That's great.
Well, we also have most of those on our webpage too, so if you're internet active, you can click right on there and it tells you all about them.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Rabbi Scott.
Thank you. God
Thanks
bless
for calling,
you.
Mike. I've got bagels coming your way.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Next, we're going to go to Richard. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings, Richard.
Again, it is a tremendous a blessing, the show today, and that's the reason, I guess, why many of us don't call in, because when you have a caller like this that has so many wonderful things to say that we hate to interrupt that. But the reason I called is, Scott?
Yeah.
My first mission trip, I've been in ministry most of my adult life, my first mission trip was to Argentina.
Oh, right.
And I was up north in Posadas.
Sure.
But we also had a convention down in Mar del Plata. And, of course, I was in Buenos Aires, too. And so I was very, very interested to hear the results of your meetings down there and wondered what's the best way to have literature when you have your plans formulated. I'd love to go back there. I don't know if I'll be able to arrange the trip, but I'd love to keep in touch and see if it possibly I could make that trip.
Two ways. Are you internet active?
No, not yet.
Okay, you can call.
I can send you his address. I have email connections with you, Scott, and I can send you Richard's address.
That'd be great, and we can get you the information, Richard.
That'd be wonderful.
The fact that the festival's literally a year away, what's great about it is we can also send you information on how to raise money where the people can get, obviously, the tax credit. Yeah, that always helps if you, get money and see a tax benefit. But we're looking at the festival, we're hoping will be under $2,000. That will be airfare, food, the hotel, everything. And what's really nice, and when I was in Russia, we used to have a slogan, lose weight, save soul, that and the house, because the food and accommodations in Russia weren't so good. And you've been to Argentina, you know the food there, the best meat you've ever had.
Really?
The vegetarian is, the vegetables are even good.
You're making me hungry.
But the best beef I've ever had down there.
And yeah, really.
The accommodations will be real nice. It'll be a real blessing.
How long is it going to be for?
I'm sorry, what?
How long a trip?
It's a 10-day event.
10 days?
And
under 2,000?
We hand out tracts for about 3 or 4 days on the streets. We do street evangelism. We visit orphanages. And it's, in fact, we just put out a video, about a 5-minute video, that shows some of the different events that we do down there.
Well, that's tremendous, and I appreciate Ethel getting the information about your father and your sister, too, so we will be praying for them.
Please do that.
Yeah. Too. All right. Bless you.
Bless you.
We'll be looking forward to further contacts in the future. Bless you, Ethel.
Thank you
You're
for
tremendous.
Calling, Richard.
Yeah, I love you. Bye-bye.
God is tremendous. Shalom Aleichem. See, that's God, just when I was getting ready to say thank you, and we'll see you next time. Two callers called right in. It's been wonderful today. I haven't even had my bagel today, but I have had my blessing just by talking with you on the phone today.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate it. This is a blessing and an honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much, and let's keep in touch.
Great. We'd love to come back on again.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks a lot.
And that was my interview with Rabbi Scott Sekulow. I am so thankful to God that I have this interview and that I can share it with you, and perhaps his family members will enjoy hearing his voice and having it for forever to listen to. And I mentioned earlier that he died a few days ago. It's actually Saturday as I'm sitting in my home recording this, but it's not going to go on the air for another week. It's August 14th as I'm recording, but this will go on the air August 21st. So when you heard me say that he died a few days ago, actually, that's what I meant. A few days ago would have been like Wednesday or Thursday of the week that just passed. Anyway, this is Ethel Chadwick, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings. And man, I do miss those live shows when I had callers. Perhaps we'll get to that again sometime. As I close out today's show, I just want to say my heart goes out to everyone who has suffered loss. May the Lord comfort you. May he fill you with his peace. And may the joy of the Lord still shine in your heart through all of the sadness. We know that we will see our dear brother again sometime. Here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction. Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yahir Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai Panamalecha V'yosem lecha
Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.